Ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus, family, friends, and foes, and yes, with even foes in the family, and the standing between the living and the dead, prayer, devotional, memorial, family members. This is Daniel White, the third president of Gospel Light Society International, with the White House family devotional reading of Charles Spurgeon's Treasury of David. This is episode number 41. This is a part of our devotions that has been added on. And we're at Psalm 6, verse 3. My soul is also sore vexed, but thou, O Lord, how long? O Lord, heal me, for my bones are vexed. Spurgeon goes on to say, here he prays for healing, not merely the mitigation of the ills he endured, but their entire removal. And by the way, that's how we ought to pray. Not to just alleviate the pain, but to remove the source of the pain. And I'm adding that. And the curing of the wounds which had arisen therefrom. His bones were shaken. As the Hebrew has it, his terror had become so great that his very bones shook. Not only did his flesh quiver, but the bones, the solid pillars of the house of manhood, were made to tremble. My bones are shaken. Ah, when the soul has a sense of sin, it is enough to make the bones shake. It is enough to make a man's hair stand up on end to see the flames of hell beneath him, an angry God above him, and danger and doubt surrounding him, and may I add, sin within him. Well might he say, my bones are shaken. Lest, however, we should imagine that it was merely bodily sickness, although bodily sickness might be the outward sign of sin sickness, if I may add. The psalmist goes on to say, my soul is also sore vexed. Soul trouble is the very soul of trouble. Go ahead, Spurgeon. It matters not that the bones shake, if the soul be firm, but when the soul itself is shaken, if I may add, is also sore vexed. This is agony indeed, and there's no doubt about that. By the way, there's no cure other than Jesus Christ and the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, and faith in him and praying to God in his name. That's the only thing that can heal soul sickness. There's no medicine for soul sickness. But thou, O Lord, how long? This sentence ends abruptly, for words failed and grief drowned the little comfort which dawned. Go ahead, Spurgeon. The psalmist had still, however, some hope, but that hope was only in his God. Amen and amen. He therefore cries, O Lord, how long? The coming of Christ into the soul in his priestly robes of grace is the grand hope of the penitent soul, and indeed, in some form or other, Christ's appearance and ever has been the hope, is and ever has been the hope of the saints. A certain theologian's favorite exclamation was, Domine, jus cruquo, and I hope I'm doing this, saying this right, O Lord, how long? Nor could his sharpest pains during a life of anguish force from him any other word. Surely this is the cry of the saints under the altar. O Lord, how long? May I add, Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. used to use this phrase, how long? How long, Lord? And this should be the cry of the saints waiting for the millennial glories. Why are his chariots so long in coming? Lord, how long? Those of us who have passed through conviction of sin knew what it was to count our minutes, hours, and our hours, yea, months and years, if I may add the months part. While mercy delayed its coming, we watched for the dawn of grace as they that watch for the morning. Amen. Earnestly did our anxious spirits ask, O Lord, how long shall we pray? Holy Father God, we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We praise you and we thank you so much for this time of devotions. And thank you so much for your holy word. Thank you so much for a man, he being dead, yet speaketh, that you anointed with divine oil. You blessed him with the mother load of unction and anointing. It was just pouring out of him. By your grace, your might, and your power, no one can deny it. And what a blessing he has been to the church for a long, long time, even after going to heaven to be with you. Dr. Charles Haddon Spurgeon, we give you the glory, praise, and honor for this gift to the church. He came at a time when the church was getting weak, and he has sustained, you have used him to sustain many and to encourage many since his life on earth. And we give you all of the praise and the glory and the honor. And we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ that you would save those who are lost right now as they hear the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Ladies and gentlemen, some of you may not have understood that devotional much because you're not in a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And I cannot recommend to you enough, to you individually, because some of you are hanging precariously over the burning hell as I speak, here and out there. You do not love the Lord Jesus Christ. If you do not love God, you're probably lost and on your way to hell. Even though you may be a member of a church, even though you may be a person who has been in church all of your life. You remember as a little boy and a little girl how that you went to Sunday school, participated in the Easter programs, Some of you have heard the gospel many times, but you're still lost and on your way to a devil's hell, and you know it. If you don't sense that you are in a personal relationship with the Lord, you're just going through the motions, you are probably lost and on your way to hell. If there's never, excuse the double negative, no joy, if there's never any joy, let me say it right, peace in your soul, and you're always troubled and depressed, defeated, and disgusted, then you have probably never been born again. You don't know Jesus as your Savior. If you're thrown into fits by the devil at his whim and at his control, and you act like you don't have any control over that, and you don't have any power against Satan, and he can just control you and throw you down and hinder you and try to make you to be a hindrance, and he can throw you every which way, and you have no power over him in the name of Jesus Christ. You probably have never been born again. You probably have never been saved. Sad to say. If you're mad all of the time, you wake up mad. You're mad throughout the morning, throughout the afternoon and the evening. You go to bed mad and angry. You have never been born again. And this is every day. Because, see, I know this because if you have Jesus Christ living on the inside of you, these things would not be the case. And so, if you have any doubts about your salvation, if your behavior has not changed over some period of time towards more righteousness and godliness and holiness, and you keep lying, this is just my personality. No, Jesus will change your personality. You will become more like him. Something is wrong somewhere. And I'm talking to religious people. People who have been going to church for years. And they're lost. And they have no relationship with the Lord right now. And they've never sensed that relationship. It's one thing to be saved, and if you sin against God and lose that fellowship, because that's the initial chastisement of God against you, the loss of fellowship with him. Because let me tell you, in case you don't know, it is a privilege to be in a personal relationship with the Lord. It is a privilege to be in fellowship with the Lord. God is not doing you a favor. You're not doing God a favor. It is a privilege and an honor to be in fellowship with the Lord. And don't you ever forget it. So, dear friend, if you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior today, here is how you can be saved from the pain of sin, from the power of sin, the bondage of sin, and the punishment of sin in that awful place called hell, and go to heaven when you die and have a little bit of heaven on earth. That's right. Yes, Jesus Christ said, in this world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. And that means that even though you may have trouble in your life and tribulation in your life, you can have a little bit of heaven on earth, because you are truly experiencing a little bit of heaven if you have Jesus Christ living on the inside of you. You need to believe on him today. You need to receive him today in your heart, your mind, your soul, and your spirit. First, dear friends, accept the fact that you are a sinner and that you have broken God's law. The Bible says in Romans 3:22, 3:23. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. You have fallen short of the glory of God. You need to acknowledge that. And you need to realize that you have sinned against God Almighty, and you're guilty. And we may play with sin down here, but God does not play with sin. Heaven does not play with sin. We may not take it seriously because we're foolish acting and crazy and wicked and evil, but God does not play with sin. One sin will cause you to be cast into hell. That's how serious it is in God's sight. And that's he's the one you have to deal with. Not me, not a judge in a court, but God Almighty, who is very offended at your evil. And in fact, the psalmist said one time that God is angry with the wicked every day. Secondly, accept the fact, dear friend, that there is a penalty for sin. There is a punishment for sin always, always, always. I had to punish my son recently. I had to chastise him, my baby son, recently. Why? Because of sin. Sin cannot stand. You allow sin to fester, it becomes worse, and things get worse. Sin cannot stand. Sin has to be punished. And have you noticed that even with this plague pandemic, the court rolls on? If they have to do it virtually, if they have to do it by cameras, it don't matter. It does not matter if you got a court date, buddy. Something's going to happen on that court date. They believe in that. They're firm on that. Have you noticed that? During the plague pandemic, if you got a court date, you're gonna be there. You better be there on that date. There's no. It doesn't matter to them about plague pandemic. It means nothing to the judge and to the court. There's something fixed in the court system. See, because God demands justice. You cannot rob an old lady of a house and not be punished. You cannot rape a woman and not be punished. We got to catch you, and we got to bring you to justice. That's in the sinful human court. The judge is a sinner. The lawyers are sinners. The bailiff is a sinner. The court reporter is a sinner. But sin's got to be dealt with. Crime has got to be dealt. We got to deal with your sin, your evil. And if we deem it necessary for you to be taken off of the streets and put in jail, then we have to do that. But justice rolls on. Certainly not perfect, because not perfectly, because of our sinful nature. But there's a problem. Sin is a problem. Someone said a long time ago, sin will take you further than you wanted to go, keep you longer than you wanted to stay, and make you pay more than you wanted to pay. Sin is a bad boy. The wages of sin is death. We die because of sin ultimately. You're going to die one day. It's not because of the coronavirus plague, not because of the Indian Delta variant, not because of cancer, not because of a car crash, but because of your sin, my friend. Your sin. Well, let me help you, because some of you look like you don't know what I'm talking about. How about your lies that you have told and that you're living by? Some of you have lied so much you believe the lies yourself. And you'll get mad if other people don't believe your lies. How about stealing people's money, purloining, embezzling. You know, you may not steal it all in the same day, but you steal it little by little, you lying devil, you. Yeah, just a little bit. You steal a few dimes here, a few quarters here, but eventually you steal it all. How about dishonoring and disobeying your parents and disrespecting your parents? After I got saved, I had to, God led me to go back and apologize to my dad. I hated my dad when I was a teenager for no reason at all. The man never did me wrong. The man never even whipped me, and he should have many times, but he didn't know any better because he never had a father. And if he had whipped me, I would have avoided a whole lot of trouble in my life. I wish he had, but he didn't. And he thought he was loving me by not doing so and taking the blame for my foolishness. How about dishonoring your parents? How about it? Do you think you need to go back and apologize? How about lusting after somebody or something? How about the sin of covetousness? Not being content with what you have, but always wanting what others have. You're full of envy. You're guilty before God. How about this sin? Taking God's name in vain. We all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The wages of sin is death. We die because of our sinful nature and our sinful choices. When we choose to sin, God is marking it down. It's all recorded, my dear friend. Every evil thing you've ever done, every evil thought you've ever had, every cuss word you ever uttered, is all being recorded. If Google can keep up with your history, rest assured God can keep up with it. Because he's the one who ultimately created the internet and all of the technology we have today, where you can't go anywhere without them knowing where you went. It's still on there. And people who understand computer forensics, I think they call it, they can find where you went 10 years ago. So stop trying to fool people, and you certainly can't fool God. And let me help you. No sin. Nobody has ever gotten away with sin. Don't fool yourself. Nobody. Nobody. You say, I think I have. No, you haven't. No. God knows all about it. And you're going to reap what you sow. So thirdly, dear friends, you must understand and accept the fact that you're on the road to hell because of your sins. Jesus Christ said in Matthew 18:8, wherefore if thy hand or thy foot offend thee, or they lead you to sin against God, cut them off and cast them from thee. It is better for thee to enter into life halt or maimed rather than having two hands or 2 feet to be cast into everlasting fire. Hell is a very real place. Hell is a bad place. Hell is a sad place. And hell is bad news, for real. You can try to joke it off all you want to. You can say stupid, ignorant things like, I want to go to hell because all of my friends are going to be there, ha ha ha. Don't worry about it. I said stupid things too when I was lost and on my way to hell. I remember to this day telling my buddies, and we all were going to hell at that time, we just didn't know it. We were on the school bus. I remember the road we were on. And I told the fellas, I'm going to drive the bus to hell, you know. I had to try to be as bad as I could be to fit in, because my dad was a well-known preacher in the area, and I carried his name. So I got to be really bad. I said, I'm going to drive the bus to hell. They ha, ha, ha. And I said, ha, 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 stupidly, foolishly, ignorantly. I thank God. God did not hold it against me. And years later, by God's grace and God's mercy, He saved my soul from the hell I spurned and joked about. That's God for you. And He'll do the same for you. For Jesus Christ, and here's how you get saved from hell. Jesus Christ said the most loving, most wonderful, and most important words in the history of the world to each and every one of us. He said, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Just believe from that passage alone, from the lips of Jesus Christ, the God-man, God Almighty in the flesh, King of kings and Lord of lords, who is sitting at the right hand of God right now. He said those words. He uttered those words for you and me to hear. For God so loved the world. That means that God loves you, because you're in this world right now. And you're very, if you're here today, you're very blessed to be here, to hear this gospel message. Because so many have died, millions have died, thousands will die today around the world because of the coronavirus plague and other sicknesses and illnesses and diseases and car accidents. For God so loved the world, that includes you, red, yellow, black, and white. We're all precious in God's sight, that He gave His only begotten Son. His name is none other than Jesus Christ. And if He is the Son of God, that means He is God. He is holy and perfect. When He shed His blood on the cross, it was God's blood, pure blood. He is the Lamb of God, the sacrificial Lamb of God, Jesus Christ, who has taken away the sin of the world, your sin and mine. That whosoever, the word whosoever means anybody and any time. Again, red, yellow, black, or white, we're all precious in God's sight. Believeth in Him, that's it. That's all God requires of you to be saved. Believeth in Him, Jesus Christ. You do not have to join a church. You don't have to send a dime of money to this church or any other church. You don't have to sing in the choir. You don't have to go through an ordination. You don't have to speak in some unknown tongue. You don't have to run and shout around the church. You don't have to sing in the choir. You don't have to give any money to the church. You don't even have to get baptized to be saved. Jesus Christ did not say that. Whosoever believeth in Him should not perish. That means you will not go to that awful place called hell if you believe in Jesus Christ, but have everlasting life if you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. It is as simple as that. That's why I say these words are the most loving, most wonderful, and most important words ever uttered in the history of the world to humankind. So, dear friend, just believe in your heart in the Lord Jesus Christ, that Jesus Christ suffered, bled, and died on the cross for your sins. was buried and rose from the dead by the power of God for you, so that you can live forever with him. Just pray and ask him to come into your heart today, believing in Jesus Christ, that he suffered, he bled, and he died on the cross for your sins, was buried, and rose again. He took care of your sin debt. He took your place. He paid your sin debt. In fact, he paid it all, as the songwriter said. Romans 10, 9, and 13 says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shall believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou you shalt be saved. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Saved from what? Saved from hell, ultimately. Saved to what? Saved to heaven, ultimately. And yes, once you get saved, your life should be better because you will have Jesus Christ living on the inside of you. However, Jesus Christ said before he left that you still will have tribulation in this world. I'm not going to promise you a bed of roses. I'm not going to promise you a mansion. I'm not going to promise you a Mercedes. I'm not going to promise you that you're going to have a whole lot of money. None of those things, in most cases, none of those things will happen for you. And they have nothing to do with your salvation at all. There are some people who have that gift to generate income for the glory of God, for the work to go on, and some don't have that gift. You may be poor, but I tell you what, if you're born again and if you have Jesus, you'll be at peace in your poorness, and you'll be content, and you'll be joyful. So believe in the Lord Jesus Christ right now. Pray and ask him to save your soul, and he will save you. Follow me in the sinner's prayer right now. Repeat after me, phrase by phrase, only if you want to. Nobody's making you. God does not make anybody get saved. He didn't make me get saved. God respects your free moral agency that he gave you. And so no one is pressuring you. This is something that God has spoken to your heart about, and you feel the need to do so. And it's your choice. Follow me in prayer as you believe in your heart in Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory. Let's pray. Repeat after me, phrase by phrase, and mean it from your heart. Holy Father God, I acknowledge that I am a sinner, and I admit that I have sinned against you. I've done evil in your sight. For Jesus Christ's sake, please forgive me of all of my sins. As I believe with all of my heart in Jesus Christ, who suffered, bled, and died on the cross for my sins, as the sacrificial Lamb of God, who took away my sin and the sin of the world, Lord Jesus Christ, I believe in you. Please come into my heart and save my soul and change my life. Fill me with your Holy Spirit and help me to repent of all of my sins and to turn from my evil life and to follow you in the new life, Lord Jesus. For it is in your name I do pray. Amen. Now, dear friend of mine, if you believed in your heart in the Lord Jesus Christ, that he suffered, bled and died on the cross for your sins, was buried and rose on the third day, allow me to say to you, congratulations on doing the most important thing in life. And that is believing in the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. For more information to help you grow in your newfound faith in Christ, please go to GospelLightSociety.com and read my book titled, What to Do After You Enter Through the Door. Jesus Christ said in John 10:9, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. And dear friend, if you believed on the Lord Jesus Christ and received him into your heart as your Savior today, please email us at dw3@gospellightsociety.com and let us know. We have some free material that we want to send you to help you grow in the faith. If you have a prayer request, please email that to us as well, and we will pray for you until you tell us to stop.